And welcome to Talk of the Town, the latest in arts, music, and entertainment on BroadbandBoxOffice.com. I am Lisa Descoli, and with me is my co-host, Annie Weiss.
Hey, Lisa, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Well, we have made it official.
We have made it official. This is true. I'm super excited about it.
Annie is officially my co-host from here on in.
Yes, so forever and ever. And you will never get rid of me.
And just a quick shout out, happy birthday tomorrow.
Thank you.
I know it's tomorrow, but I'll say it first.
Thank you so much.
For all the Facebook people get there.
I'm going to be 27.
Oh, good Lord. I have shoes heartburn. Older than that.
I have heartburn, a receding hairline.
Oh, please. And the rest of us are sitting here just groaning. So how's things been, my friend?
Good. You know, I'm back on the dating scene. And, okay, so we know I'm half Jewish. We know that, Lisa.
Okay, we know that.
So I went on a date the other day. I was so excited. Like, on paper, he was great, right? Like, Jewish, my age, like, good job. Okay. His parents are jewelers. I'm, like, thinking about the wedding and what ring I'm going to get.
Okay.
And we went on a date, and he said, hey, let's go to Hookah. And I was like, that sounds great. So we found out, I Googled this place in Union called Aladdin's. It's on Route 22, if you ever get to go there. It's Aladdin's. And
were there flying carpets?
I was thinking, like, Arabian Nights, flying carpets, like, genie bottles. It wasn't that at all. It was just a really smoky room with a football game playing.
You could have gotten over here at Hooters.
I know. But it's Hookah, and we picked out our flavors, and it was nice. It was, we got wine, and we sit down within the first 10 minutes. And I met this kid on Tinder, by the way. Don't judge. It was just Hookah. And I met him on Tinder, and so we decided to go on a date, and we sit down. He goes, your mom's not Jewish, which means you're not Jewish, which means when we get married, you're going to have to convert. And I was like, slow down there, Moisha. Why don't you take another puff of your hookah, order me some hummus and a piece of cheesecake because I'm ready to eat my feelings.
Yeah. And, now, wait a minute. How long have you known this guy? This was a first date?
It was a first date. It was a Sunday night, and we had talked for like an hour, and he was like, hey, you want to meet up? And I was like, sure, why not? I don't have anything going on. Like, I'm not working tonight. I don't have any shows. Sure, I'll go out and socialize, And he proposed marriage within the first 10 minutes. So
did
that was great.
Did he propose marriage, or did he just...
I think he was feeling me out.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
But I told him to slow down and relax.
And
then I Googled the ring that I want.
Okay. Well, a kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but...
Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
There you go.
Ain't that the truth?
Now, how's Betty?
She's fantastic. Jeopardy is on right now.
So she's not listening
to us. She's not listening. She has her wine. She has her coffee table. She's happy. You know what I mean?
Well, Jeopardy is on at 2:30 in the afternoon as well now.
My mom's a teacher. She's a special ed teacher in Patterson. So when she gets home, she's ready for the wine, I'm trying to say.
No, I can't quite blame her because teachers work hard, and
yes,
that's a
do.
Very difficult job. Just a shout out to you. You are going to be going somewhere right after this.
I am. I'm going to the Whiskey Cafe in Lyndhurst, New Jersey. It's 1000 Wall Street, so come out tonight. It's going to be a great show with Bob Gonzo, my main man.
And, this is every Tuesday night.
Every Tuesday.
He has an open mic.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. And I get to work out my material, and if you're a comic, come out. It's a warm, welcoming environment. There's no judgment. And if you're an audience member, it's a free show. It's a win-win.
So very good.
Yeah.
Where are you performing after Whiskey? Anywhere coming? Any dates coming up?
So I will be in Cranberry at the Station with Mike Bonner. So that's going to be
funny man.
He's so funny. He's a riot. And his wife, Patty, I kind of have a girl crush on. Like, she's wonderful. And she smokes, like, these really long cigarettes. And she, like, saves them. So she can't, like, smoke the entire cigarette. So she'll put it out, and, like, a little while later, she'll, like, continue smoking. She's wonderful. I love her.
So shout out to Mike as well.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess we should get on to our guest.
I would like to know about Peggy.
I've been looking forward to this evening for over a month now since we decided that this was going to be our guest this month. This lady is very special, Miss Peggy Eason. blind since birth, has never let that interrupt her work or her life. She grew up in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and Mount Vernon, New York. She is an accomplished vocalist, just coming off a highly successful cabaret show at Don't Tell Mamas in New York City. She is classically trained, has a master's degree in voice and music from the Manhattan School of Music, and has just been asked to close the Mabel Mercer Cabaret Convention for 2014, celebrating Irving Berlin.
Wow.
So, that's welcome, amazing. Peggy Eason.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here tonight.
So, we'll get it right on the table. Name of your cabaret show, Blind, Black, and Beautiful.
No, you mean the one that I just finished?
Yes.
No, that was my CD, Black, Blind, and Beautiful.
Black, Blind, and Beautiful. I got it.
But, that's okay. But the show was called I'll Show Them All.
Oh, I love that.
Where did you come up with that name, Peg?
Actually, it was Richard Skipper's idea.
Oh, and a big shout out to Richard Skipper.
Yes, huge shout out to Richard. Yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah, we needed to come up with a title. We needed to switch a whole new show, so we had to come up with a whole new title. And Richard thought, well, I'll show them all. And that's how it came
that's
to
fantastic.
Be.
That's fantastic.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So it was Richard's creativity.
Yes, I'll show them all.
And I like that title.
I love
so
that.
Much.
And it's so true.
Yes.
You know?
Very good. Now, how did you start out?
You mean in cabaret or? Yeah.
In music in general.
Well, first of all, I have to tell you, I have been singing. I got my first job when I was, believe it or not, 7 years old.
Wow.
My grandmother paid me $3. Now, you have to remember, back when I was growing up, $3 was a lot of money. And she paid me $3 to sing at one of her events. She was always having little tea parties and things like that. And she didn't even know I could sing. What happened was it was a Christmas Eve. I'll never forget. No, it was a few days before Christmas. You were probably too young to remember Perry Como, but I remember Perry Como. And he used to have Christmas shows. And I went to school, Catholic school, and every Catholic girl knew the Ave Maria.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my grandmother had the television on. The house was full of people. And someone on the show started singing the Ave Maria. Well, of course, I imitated everything I heard. Mm-hmm. So I started singing the Ave Maria. And my grandmother said, turn that television down. So one of my cousins gave me up. They said, Mama, that's not the television. That's Peggy.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, my grandmother was a nice Southern lady. She never let anything interfere with her cooking. When she found out that I could sing, and she was a Baptist, and she was a woman of great faith, but when she heard me singing, she said, Lord, child, I did not know you could sing like that. And from then on, I sang at everything, all her church occasions, our friends, and that's when I started singing. And then the nuns took over from there. They made me audition for the Ted Mack Amateur Hour, even Lawrence Welk.
Oh my God,
really?
That's so
yes.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So Ted Mack, I kind of remember that was a talent show.
Yeah,
local
Ted Mack Amateur Hour. You, if you had a talent, you'd go and audition.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the audition, but then, well, wouldn't you know, the year I made it, they canceled the show. I went down, did the recording with the musicians and everything. They canceled the show.
Aw.
Yeah.
And that's show business for
you.
Yeah.
So you've been singing since then?
Yes. Singing since then. And then when I got to high school, I discovered classical music, and I thought I was going to be a great opera star. I was going to go to Italy and sing in all the opera houses. Well, that never happened. So then I decided, well, I better get a real job. after coming out of college, I figured I better get a real job and, you know, where you have a pension and Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I sort of put it on the background. It was sort of second, well, you would understand, Annie, second.
Mm-hmm.
Having,
absolutely.
Second career sort of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I worked 25 years during the day as a secretary for the Division of Parole in New York State City. And then I did my singing at night.
So you always kept up on your singing.
Oh, yes.
Now, what have been your influence? What has been some of your biggest influences?
I think I need more water.
We're going to get you some right here.
Thank you. Well, my big influence was, I think, just listening to the radio.
So just listening to, you know what I think would be a great idea? Mm. I would like to actually hear Peggy sing. So we have your CD here, and it is called Blind...
Get black,
blind, and beautiful. Beautiful. All right, I'll get the beautiful part right. So this first selection is called Where I Stand.
Here is where I stand.
Here's where I stand, Miss Peggy Eason.
I've an unrest inside me. Though it's long, I have had such an unrest inside me, and it's getting real bad. I'm sleeping at night, and my heart beats so loud that I wake all dizzy and light with a dreaming and feeling this ache. There's a thumping inside me that I think I'll go mad. For I wish it so, what I wish I still don't know, but it's bound to come, though so long to wait. I keep saying tonight or today, days, and my heart clamors and prays it will not come too late. But when come it does, in the shape of love or life, I will give my life, and my love I know. I've such grand names with so many that I grow numb, but sure one is bound to come, because I wish it so. I wish it so. It's the unrest inside me, and I think I'll go mad.
Well, that was just
that
stunning.
Was gorgeous.
That was beautiful. But it's not, here's where I stand. That was I Wish It So. Mm-hmm. So we just had a little mix-up in the control booth, and no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
Equally as beautiful a song.
And thank you.
I do hope that this is giving the audience a taste of what this lady can do. And where are you performing next? Where
the Cabaret Convention, Mabel Mercer. Okay. Cabaret Convention. This is my first time ever singing on this thing. Richard Skipper is going to be escorting me on and off the stage.
Which is very exciting. And you just came off of your own cabaret show, as we said in the introduction, at Don't Tell Mamas.
I'll show them all.
That's right. And now, how did you decide on cabaret performing?
I took a class called The Singing Experience.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in the show said, oh, I've done a cabaret show. I've done a cabaret show. Mm-hmm. I am very competitive. I want to do everything everybody else does. So I said, I can do a cabaret show. I didn't even know what cabaret was. Okay. I went home, did some research, and wrote a show.
Wow.
I called up my teacher at that time, Linda Burns. I said, Linda, I wrote a show, but I don't know what I'm doing. I emailed it to her. She said, well, for someone who didn't know what they were doing, you did a good job. 15 minutes it took me to write a cabaret show.
Wow.
So I did my first one in 2000 and I think 10 maybe, my second one in 2012. Mm-hmm. And then I did two in 2014, one in January and then one in June.
Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And any plans to do cabaret other than the
Well, what I'd like to do is, cabaret is nice, but I'd like to do private parties. That's my thing. I'd love to do private parties, and I would also like to do motivational speaking and things like that.
Well, to which end, that's perfect. We did not plan this, but you gave me my segue. What has been your greatest obstacle so far?
Well, people actually have been my obstacle. They're so busy telling me what I can't do. Mm-hmm. Not what I can do, but what I can do. But the thing that got me through that was my grandmother told me when I was 5 years old, never allow anyone to tell you what you can and cannot do. Never let anyone put limitations on you. Mm-hmm. Believe me, if I had listened to those people, I wouldn't have been anything or done anything.
Right.
I'd be too afraid. Mm-hmm. But I'm not afraid.
I find it amazing, personally, because those of us who have sight and have all of our senses are usually terrified to do things that should come natural and easy, and you've been fearless. You are fearless.
Well, there aren't too many things. You know, I used to be afraid of dogs. Really.
Okay.
I used to be, really. If I heard a dog bark, I would scream, yell. I wound up with 6 guide dogs. Amazing.
Now,
6 of them.
I think that's amazing that you just, I don't know, I wish I could just bring home the point that you never took home that message that you can't,
no.
That you let your grandmother's words, and God bless her,
yes,
for being such a strong lady.
Well, they told me I couldn't go to college. They said, you're not college material. This is what my show is all about. I'll show them all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everything people said I wouldn't do, I did. You know?
Now, what has been your greatest accomplishment so far?
My greatest accomplishment?
So far, because, I mean, there's always tomorrow.
So far, yeah. Thank God. Let's hope for tomorrow, please. I think my greatest accomplishment is proving everybody wrong.
I would say so.
I think that is the greatest thing, because had they been right, then, you know, they would have won. But I think my greatest accomplishment is proving everyone wrong.
They always say that success is the greatest revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I
believe that.
I think that you've had the greatest revenge of all, because look at you now.
Yes.
And you're such an inspiration.
Thank you.
You'll show them
well,
all.
Well, that's another thing. I want to inspire people who don't have the courage that I have.
Mm.
Let them know they can do it. Just don't let anyone ever tell you you can't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm going to take that home.
I love that. You have a connection to Leontine Price.
Oh, you know about that, huh?
I know about everything.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she came to my graduation recital when I graduated from Manhattan School of Music.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And she, I wrote her a letter. I asked her to come.
Wow.
I told her, I just adore you. I used to imitate her. They used to call me Little Miss Leontine. I used to love that. So I told her all about myself and that I was having a graduation recital, and I know she's busy, but I would be honored if she could come. Well, she came, but she told, don't tell her I'm here. I don't want her to know I'm here. And I didn't know she was there until the end of the show. She came out, she waited so everyone greeted me, and then she said, hi, this is Leontine. I hit a high C.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my.
I was so excited.
That is thrilling, actually.
Yeah.
And she came.
She wrote her
letter and she came.
And then the next day I got a call to come into the office. At the time, the president was George Schick.
Mm-hmm.
He was president of the school. He said, I want to see you. Okay, I'll be there in 15 minutes. I was in the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
So my girlfriend said, Peggy, the president said he wants to see you. I said, yeah, I'm finishing my lunch. But Mr. Schick wants to see you. I said, he'll see me when I finish my lunch.
Was it a good lunch?
Yeah, it was good.
There you go.
I was being treated to lunch, okay? I don't give up free food for anybody.
I don't either. I hear you.
So I go in. He says, I called you 15 minutes ago. I said, I'm here now. He said, well, I just want to ask you a question. I heard that Leontine Price was at your recital last night. She said, she doesn't come to the opera performances. How come she came to mine? Because I asked her to.
So was your major in opera? What was your focus?
My major, I had two. My major was voice and music education.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to be an opera star, but then I said, no, that's not going to work. Ah, it's too much work.
Yes, it is a lot. Uh-huh. And tell me about your connection to Robert Goulet.
Oh, how do you know all this?
I am psychic.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I had a friend of mine. I've always admired Robert Goulet ever since I saw him in Camelot. Oh, when he came out and sang If Ever I Would Leave You, I thought I was going to die.
Such a beautiful song.
I thought I was going to
die. Yes.
So anyway, I had a friend
that's
of mine.
Iconic.
When Robert was doing the revival of Camelot, this time playing the king, I had a friend of mine who was in the show. And he said, I'm going to fix it so that you meet Robert Goulet. I said, oh, my God. Well, he did. The day came, I went, I saw the show for free. And then afterwards, I went backstage. And they played a trick on me. Mm. See, when you have blind friends, they can do anything for you. They can do anything to you. You know? What happened was, I was talking about him. He wasn't in the room when I started talking. Mm. Well, as I was talking to him, he had walked in the room. And unbeknownst to me, he had signaled everybody, let her keep talking, let her keep talking. So I was saying, oh, the first time I heard him, I thought I was going to die. And when he came out and he sang that song, If Ever I Would Leave You, I thought I was going to just die. He comes over to me, he says, If Ever I Would Leave You. I said,
oh my goodness.
I thought I was going to die.
Yes,
oh
you did.
God.
And was he gracious?
Oh, gracious. Oh, please. He was more than gracious. Oh. He was just fabulous.
Now,
fabulous.
Did he get a chance to hear you sing as well? Or?
Well, he got a copy of my CD.
Yes.
And he said that, he said, you know, Peggy, when I get my room, because he was going to have a room in Vegas, I'll bring you out. But then he died.
Oh, God.
Well.
And he told me that you are so full of sunlight. Mm-hmm. I know nothing. You'll let nothing get in your way.
Well, I think we're starting to see that. And I'm so thrilled to know this about you because I like to be around positive people.
Oh, absolutely. Me too.
Yes. Yep. And anybody who has gotten that message that nothing can stop you except for you, that is brilliant. And I think you should be a motivational speaker because just sitting in the room here, we're all getting so much energy and so much light. Okay, Mrs. Irving Berlin and Kitty Carlisle.
Well, you
Hart.
Know about all of my secrets. Good thing I don't have a criminal record. You probably didn't find that out too, right?
Well, now.
Well, if you do enough checking, you know. I did work for parole. Well,
that is true.
Tell you. Well, what happened was, I was, believe it or not, I was a Girl Scout.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Excuse me. I was a Girl Scout, and I was called into the office one day. I was always getting into trouble. Mm. I mean, nothing bad, just little things that annoyed people. And she said to me, I've just entered you in a contest. It was me and I think two other scouts. Mm-hmm. What they wanted, they were looking for somebody to sing at a big rally at the Grand Ballroom of the Waldorf Astoria. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd never been to the Waldorf Astoria. I didn't have that much money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they said that they needed scouts, someone to sing a song. Mm-hmm. So what I didn't know was that there would be Girl Scouts from all around the country. I didn't know that. I thought it was just, you know, from the Bronx or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, when I got there were lots of Girl Scouts there. So I went in. I was the first one in. They always pick me first, no matter where I go. I'm always the first one to be chosen. I don't know why. I must have that look. Mm-hmm. So then my two co-scouts went in, and then they told us to wait. So then they had about 10 other girls after that. Well, then they said, we want to hear the other one again. So I figured, oh, well, I messed up. They're going to give me another chance. Mm-hmm. Well, unbeknownst to me, the organist had raised the song a half a step higher than when I sang it before. So when I hit the high note, I finished, I came out singing. Somebody said, was that Kitty Carlisle singing? I didn't even know who Kitty Carlisle was at the time, okay? So it didn't make any difference to me. Well, it turned out that the judges, I sang God Bless America. Mm-hmm. It turned out that the judges for the competition were Mrs. Irving Berlin and Mrs. Kitty Carlisle.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
That is amazing.
And Mrs. Berlin said, I'm going to tell my husband about you. And 2 weeks later, oh, But I'm getting to the good part. I had won the competition.
Awesome.
So I got a chance to sing God Bless America in the Grand Ballroom. And there were other stars there. It was Arlene Francis. You wouldn't know these people. They were before your time. But there was Peggy Cass. And,
yes, I remember. Yes.
Okay, all these names. People. Annie, she doesn't know what we're talking about.
That's okay.
It's nice to be young. And I got a chance to sing in front of all these people. And Mrs. Irving Berlin said, I'm going to tell my husband about you. And he wrote me a letter, and I saved the letter for years and years and years. But then there was a flood in my closet. I lost the letter, and I lost thousands of dollars of music because everything was just flooded. So I don't have the letter anymore. But this is why they asked me to sing at the Cabaret Convention. K.T. Sullivan, mm-hmm. who runs it now and is in charge, they're having Irving Berlin night. And when she came to my show in January, she said, I want you to save the date. October 23rd, save the date. So that's how that happened.
That's great.
Now, let's say that date again, please, because I would like
October 23rd.
And this
at
is
6
where?
p.m.
And where is this?
It's the Time Warner Building. It's at Rose Hall. I'm not sure. I know it's in the Time Warner Building. I don't know the exact address, but it's Rose Hall.
Well, now I want as many people to know about you as possible. Mm-hmm. So how can we get a hold of your CD?
Well, they can contact me on Facebook or whatever. I don't have I have all the CDs.
Okay,
I don't have
so
them
they
on
have
CD
to contact.
Baby. But they can. I'm on Facebook, and if they want, they can message me privately, Peggy Eason, and I will see that they get a copy of the CD.
I think we should hear another selection.
I would love that.
And let's hope this is the right one this time.
Well, I don't know. The numbers seem to be off.
Oh, that's okay. Whatever you sing, Peggy, is absolutely lovely.
Oh, so thank you.
We got surprised, but that was
okay. It was a surprise.
Yes, but that's all right. It was still lovely. So now we will hear another selection from your CD.
A surprise.
Colors of My Life.
We hope.
The time our happiness seemed never ending. I was so sure that where we were heading was right. Life was a road so certain and straight and unbending. Our little road with never a crossroad in sight. Back in the days when we spoke in civilized voices, women in white and sturdy young men at the oar. Back in the days when I let you make all my choices, we can never go back to before. Was a time when my feet were solidly planted. You'd sail away while I turned my back to the sea. I was content, a princess asleep and enchanted. If I had dreams, and I let you dream them for me. Back in the days when everything seemed so much clearer. Women in white who knew what their lives held in store. Where are they now, those women who stared from the mirror? We can never go back to before. There are people out there unafraid of they might have a feeling, or they might have been wrong. There are people out there unafraid to feel sorrow, unafraid of tomorrow, unafraid to be weak, unafraid to be strong. There was a time when you were the to You were my sky, my moon, and my stars, and my ocean.
Well, that was not Colors of My Life.
Surprise, as Gomer Pyle would say, surprise, surprise, surprise.
But, you know, we were talking while the song was playing, and just very quickly, that is We Can Never Go Back to Before from Ragtime, which is equally lovely. And, yes. You know, whatever, regardless of what the selection was, they're all lovely pieces. And
I do
want to remind everybody, you are listening to Talk of the Town on broadbandboxoffice.com. And please like us on Facebook so that we can get some of your input. And also you'll know how to get in touch with Peggy that way. So anybody who would like to get a copy of this CD, which is just beautiful top
yes,
to finish.
I'm, yeah.
This, to me, is the kind of music that I would like to play when I have guests over for dinner. And, you know, you're sitting there and you're having your wine and your dessert and how, and to me that this is just
sitting
lovely
in the living room.
Yeah, just lovely music to have.
And that's
company.
What I'd like to do, cocktail parties, you know, and background. That's what I want to do.
Well, you are amazing, Miss Peggy Easton. And I real quick, we had a request while we were listening to you. As we said before, it is Annie's birthday tomorrow.
Yes.
So
yes.
Would you indulge us?
I would indeed. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, sweet Annie. Happy birthday to you.
Oh,
happy
bravo.
Birthday.
Bravo.
Thank you so much.
May I thank,
nice
I'd like to thank Dan Sherman and Richard Skipper for bringing me here tonight. Thank
Well,
you.
I want to thank them, too, because I love Richard Skipper. I love him dearly. He's a good man and a good friend. And I'm so glad that he brought you into my life.
Thank you so much.
So I am terribly thankful for that as well. Our next show will be November the 11th, and our guest will be Carolyn Quinn. So she's a very interesting lady that look on my webpage, and you'll learn more about her. I don't want to give too much away in advance. And now I think, I hope, I pray that we're going to hear the selection because I really wanted to hear this song. And this is Colors of My Life. No, it's not.
Oh, even better.
You know what? Richard
God.
Just gave me the biggest gift of all.
What's
he said,
that?
No, I want you to hear Defying Gravity because he's been talking about this selection and telling me that I have got to hear you sing this. So this is my treat. Until next month, folks. And this is Defying Gravity by Peggy Easton.
Something has changed within me. Something is not the same. I'm through with playing by the rules of someone else's game. Too late for second guessing. Too late to go back to sleep. It's time to trust my instincts, close my eyes, and leave. It's time to try. Someone says they're so. Some things I cannot change, but till I try, I'll never know. Too long I've been afraid of losing love. I guess I've lost. Well, if that's love, it comes at much too high a cost. I'd sooner buy defiance. down unlimited. My future is unlimited, and I've just had a vision almost like a prophecy. I know it sounds truly crazy, and true the vision's hazy, but I swear someday up in the sky, defying gravity, flying so high. I'm defying gravity, they'll never pull me down. So if you care to find me, look to the western skies. As someone told
And that was Miss Peggy Eason, Defying Gravity. Please go to YouTube and look up Peggy Eason, Defying Gravity. You will not be sorry. There is a wonderful surprise for those who take the time to watch this video. And Miss Peggy Eason, you do defy gravity.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
again to Richard Skipper.
Yes.
And we will see you here. We will hear each other again next month. Annie Weiss, thank you for being my co-host.
Thank you, Lisa.
I am Lisa Dascoli with Talk of the Town on broadbandboxoffice.com. And we'll talk to you again on November 11th.
Host of the Randy Lupo Show on Broadband Box Office. Wait, is that a tongue twister or an alliteration? Come meet my favorite people, comedians, actors, writers, spiritual people, and everyone in between. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Hi, everybody. How are you? I'm Bob Gonzo of the Bob Gonzo Show. And I'm here to introduce the Bob Gonzo Show to you. Watch the Bob Gonzo Show on ComedyMondays.com and iTunes. Once again, ComedyMondays.com and iTunes. Watch it live, or you can watch it on the archives, which means you can watch it forever. Bob Gonzo is the greatest show on the internet right now. It's the funniest, it's the sweetest, it's endearing. We have stand-up comics, we have bands, we have actors, we have people in the fashion industry. We have everything you need. So once again, the Bob Gonzo Show, the greatest show in the world. And if you watch it, you will become a better and happier and sweeter person. You. Watch the Bob Gonzo Show, everybody. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hello. Hello, this is Dr. Barry Prostowski. I invite you to watch Courageous Doctors, an exciting new show on Broadband Box Office about how healthcare is affecting you today.
It's the Mark Daisy Show, filled with gifts, fun, and surprises, and $20,000 in cash for every viewer. Well, maybe not. But we do talk about stuff and things you might want to think about after, before, and during the show. It's engaging, at least. So come by, won't you? We're here at Facebook, on iTunes. We broadcast from VK Media right here on the East Coast, and we're part of BroadbandBoxOffice.com. Check us out, come by, like us, do what you can, spend some time, take some time off, sit down, have a viewing. It's happening, it's now, it's controversial, or maybe not. But we could use a couple of more viewers, maybe starting with you. Won't you?
I'm Lou Cesenia.
And I am Daisy. And check us out at the Greater Jersey Buzz.
At BroadbandBoxOffice.com. BroadbandBoxOffice.com. Remember that. The finest talent in the world are on these microphones every month. I kid you not.
Yes, we will have a variety of different guests ranging from comedians, entertainers, singers, politicians, you name it. We're going to bring it to you with light conversation, a lot of information, but most of all, a lot of fun! Check us out at the Greater Jersey Buzz.
And you'll see Daisy too.
And you'll see Lou.
Hi, my name is Tom Ragu of the Tom Ragu Sit Down Comedy Show. You can listen to us at the Broadband Box Office. And for more information, please visit www.tomragu.com/podcast.